was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. And a woman came up to him as he was eating dinner and anointed him with a bottle of very expensive perfume. When the disciples saw what was happening, they were furious.
That's criminal. This could have been sold for a lot of money and handed out to the poor.
When Jesus realized what was going on, he intervened.
Why are you giving this woman a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives, but not me. When she poured this perfume on my body, what she really did was anointed me for burial. You can be sure that wherever in the world the message is preached, that she has just done is going to be remembered and admired.
Of Jesus' life. And actually the first two verses of the chapter that we haven't read and aren't going to read spell out exactly that Jesus knew what the next 2 days had in store for him. So I'll just read these two verses. In fact, just verse 2. Jesus said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Can you imagine what it must have been like knowing that he was going to die? In fact, not just knowing that he was going to die, but knowing that he was going to be crucified, that most horrific of deaths. And not just the crucifixion, but actually the flogging and the torture and that false trial and so on beforehand. He knew the pain and the agony that was going to come his way, and he knew that when it came to it, he'd be on his own. So what did Jesus need most of all? Well, I reckon he needed the encouragement of his mates. He needed his disciples to stand alongside him. He needed his friends to be there for him. And in the next talk, we'll see whether they were. Judas, the rest of the disciples, Peter. But as we've seen, it's not just the disciples who are here in this chapter. There was also the woman, and even before the woman, the priests and chief priests. And it's just so interesting that Jesus is about to undergo a death that would transform the history of the world forever. And just in this one chapter, we see so many different reactions to Jesus. And firstly, there's these priests. And not to put too fine a point on it, they hated Jesus and they wanted to be rid of him. Why was that? Well, because they liked their lives the way they were. You see, a priest, they had certain privileges. They had a status in society where people looked up to them and respected them. They were leaders and their lifestyle was in accordance with that. And what Jesus was suggesting threatened the way they lived their lives. Everything would be different. Their lives would be changed forever. And they weren't prepared to allow this to happen. And so, and I haven't got the doofer, but so, the priests plotted. It says in verse 3 and verse 5, they assembled in the palace of the high priest together, his name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. They were crafty, they were sly, but they were determined. And later on in the chapter we'll see that they achieved what they set out to do. You know, it's so easy to be critical, isn't it, of these priests. If only they'd known who Jesus was, if only they'd understood what he was about, perhaps they'd have done things differently. How could they do this? And yet, it's the same today. Because Jesus still comes to people today. He comes to you and me. He comes to the younger people. He comes to the less younger people. And he comes to me as a young man as well. And he says, follow me. give your lives to me. Now, following Jesus has lots of good things about it. We receive forgiveness. We find a happiness in the Lord, a peace in our hearts, the promise of heaven, good things. But you know, following Jesus actually has some tough things as well. You can't live your life the way you want to live it anymore if you follow Jesus. You can't just do what you want to do. We have to live lives that will please God. We have to put other people first. And some people just aren't prepared to do this. They don't want that kind of change in their lives. And so, like the priests, they say no. And so what a complete contrast this woman was then. Jesus and the disciples had gone for dinner at the house of Simon the leper, probably better known as Simon the ex-leper, because it's reckoned that Jesus had cured him of leprosy, and now he'd invited them to his house. And they weren't actually sitting round the table, they were reclining round the table, the Bible says. And that was the way they did things then, sort of lay down a bit more. And while they were reclining, this woman came and actually poured perfume on his head. And no, we didn't have the perfume, and you didn't really want to go home smelling like that, did you? But not just a dab. She poured this perfume on Jesus' head. Now this perfume would have been, in all likelihood, a gift from her parents to her, to carry with her, so that when she got married, she could use it to make herself smell nice, but also to perfume her house. Like a wedding gift. And often it was very expensive. It was like, you know, the parents made a sacrifice to give this perfume to the young woman. So you see, to do this to Jesus was a really expensive and costly act. Not just because the cost of the perfume, but if she did it now to Jesus, then she wouldn't be able to do it on her wedding day. You see, she wanted to do something special to show Jesus just how much he meant to her. To give up the one thing of value that she had. And it didn't matter what other people thought. If you read this story in the other Gospels, you'll see that people around the table were thinking, this is a loose woman. This is immoral what she's doing here. She's acting like a prostitute. But it didn't matter to her what other people thought. Even the disciples said, you know, you can give this, what a waste, you can give this money to the poor. But Jesus welcomed this act of worship, because that's what the woman did. The woman worshipped. Jesus saw it as a preparation for his burial. She was anointing him for his burial. And she said the woman would always be famous for doing this, that what she'd done would be told forevermore. And here we are tonight telling the story again. She worshipped Jesus. And still today, Jesus welcomes our worship. He likes it when we unashamedly show him how much he means to us, and we give him the one thing that we value most. Our lives. You see, there's a decision to be made at some point in your life, whether you're this age, whether you're that age. Are you for Jesus, or are you against him? Will you worship him, or will you reject him? Song.
And Judas. For the last few years we have run the race of life together across Galilee,
across Judea,
without a place to lay our heads. We have seen the lost found,
the sick healed,
good news preached to the poor,
and demons cast out.
And now we come to the final lap. We will run with determination the race that is set before us. It is Wednesday, soon the race will end.
Tomorrow I will depart into the night.
Soon the lambs will be sacrificed for Passover.
But which of us will win the prize? I will win 30 pieces of silver, the price of a man's life.
And I will win a cross and pour out my life to death.
But this is not the end. For I will hang myself and become a byword for traitors.
And I will rise to life and become the saviour of the world.
He loves his life will lose it, but he who is willing to give up his life will keep it for a life eternal.
Sorry, yeah, my name's Peter. Thought I'd better dig out my fishing gear again, because I think I'm going to need it now, to be honest, because we've blown it with Jesus. Do you know, so much has happened these last 24 hours. It just seems so long. So much packed in. I mean, it started just the other day, and Jesus said, remember, the Passover's tomorrow, and the Son of Man's going to be handed over to be crucified. And just getting your head around that, we go off for a meal to Simon the leper's house, and this woman comes and anoints him with oil, and he says something about preparing him for burial. And just getting your head around that, and he says, right, we're going to go into Jerusalem now. And we trail off to Jerusalem, and when we get just outside the city, he says, go into a house of a certain young man, he said, and that young man, tell him that the Lord's here, and we want that room that we've booked. Go in, there's a bloke, and yeah, the room's ready, and we go upstairs and we prepare the Passover meal, and Jesus joins us, and we're around the table. And a bombshell. He said, one of you around this table, Mark, is going to betray me. It's a sharp intake of breath, and every one of us in turn went round. Surely not I, Lord. Surely not me, Lord. It can't be me, Lord. Judas hasn't been himself lately, really, to be fair to him. Is it I, Lord? Yes, it's you, Judas, Jesus said. Just unbelievable. Anyway, Jesus took some bread and some wine, and like he would, really, any meal. And but when he broke the bread, he said, you know, this is my body, which is broken for you. And with the blood, the wine, he poured it and said, this wine is, it's my blood, which is shed for you. I'm still trying to make sense of it now, really. And after the meal, we went out to the Mount of Olives, and well, to be honest, I don't remember too much of this. Slept through some of it. Should have been praying, actually. But Jesus said one thing. He said, all of you will fall away on account of me. All of you will run away because of me. And again, we all looked at each other and said, well, surely not. And, you know, me, like, you know, big, big, bold Peter said, Lord, even if everybody else runs away, I will stand with you, whatever it takes. And the Lord looked at me right in the eye and he said, Peter, he said, I tell you this, before the cock crows tonight, you will have denied me 3 times. Well, I just laughed because there was no way. And I said, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. Well, the soldiers came then. And Judas with them. Traitor. Kissed Jesus, and the soldiers knew who to go for, and well, I got a bit excited and got the sword out and went to cut off this bloke's ear, and Jesus sort of said, whoa, you know, for any of that. He just wanted to go with them, just quietly. And as they were dragging him off, the others, they legged it. I guess they didn't want to get caught. But I promised Jesus that I'd go with him. So I followed at a distance. And they took him to the chief priest sort of palace, and there's a courtyard there, and they had him out in this courtyard. He was all tied up, and they brought people to make charges against him, stuff that just wasn't true. It's a sham. But they decided that he was guilty, They started spitting at him and hitting him and mocking him. It was all he could do just to stay in the background. And I sat around this fire. There's a girl just next to me. And she said, "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" "Not me, love. Not me, love," I said. "Well, I said it before I thought, because, you know, I just didn't want to get caught. I wanted to help Jesus." But then another girl came along and she said, "Yeah, I recognise you. You and them others, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And I swore, I said, "I don't know him." Well, it wouldn't have done, would it, to get caught. And then all of them round the fire, "Your accent, that's what gives you away. You're from Galilee. You're one of Jesus' disciples." And I said, "I swear I don't know the man." And as I said it, the cock crowed. And I realised what Jesus had meant. "You've been crying since. It's fishing for me."
Him to a garden called Gethsemane and told his disciples,
"Stay here while I go over there and pray."
Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said,
"This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me."
Going a little ahead, he fell on his face praying,
"My Father, is there any way? Get me out of this, but please, not what I want. You do what you want."
When he came back to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Can't you stick it out with me for a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. There's a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God, but there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire."
He then left them a second time. Again he prayed,
"My Father, if there is no other way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way."
When he came back, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open. This time, he let them sleep on and went back a third time to pray, going over the same ground one last time. When he came back the next time, he said,
"Are you going to sleep on and make a night of it? My time is up. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer is here."
So now we're on the last night of Jesus' life. And you remember we said that he needed his friends with him more than ever on this night. And there's three incidents, three lots of disciples, who all let him down, in fact. It was Judas. Well, you've seen the sketch, haven't you? You know the story. Everyone knows the story of Judas. His name is a byword for betrayal. Why did Jesus betray Jesus? Probably because he'd begun to follow Jesus, because he saw in Jesus someone who might change things. Israel was occupied by the Romans, and many people wanted to start a civil war, to inspire people to revolt against the Romans, and Judas maybe thought Jesus was that man. But now he could see, 3 years later, that in fact, Jesus wasn't going to do that. Jesus' way was a different way, a peaceful way. He was disappointed, disillusioned with Jesus, and so decided to betray him for money. Well, I guess none of us will ever betray Jesus in quite the same way. But it is possible for each of us, even though we've chosen to be disciples, to reject him, to turn away from him, to turn away from the one who loved us and gave his life for us. And what about the rest of the disciples, as we've just seen? After dinner, they went for a walk up to Mount of Olives, and into the Garden of Gethsemane, where all the wine presses were kept. And the olive presses, in fact. And Jesus was clearly distressed. And he said so. And I'm not quite sure what version you guys were reading, but in this one he said, he began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." My heart is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. It would be, wouldn't it? Knowing what was looming ahead of him just the next day. And so he asks these disciples to keep watch with him, to pray with him. He's saying, I need your support. I need your help. I can't do this alone. I mean, on the one hand, he's got to do it alone, but equally he needs his disciples. Jesus is a hero, isn't he? He doesn't fancy being crucified. Who would? And he even asks God in his prayers if it's not too late to do things differently. But did you hear the words of his prayer? "Not as I will, but as you will." And each time he returned to his disciples, expecting them to be praying along with him, what did he find? He found them asleep. Disciples sleep when they should be praying. Three times he asked them to stay awake, to watch and pray. And each time they fell asleep and let Jesus down. And you know, I fall asleep when I'm praying late at night. How easy it is. And then there was Peter. Well, we've heard the story, haven't we? Big, brave, bold Peter. Always the first to volunteer, always the first to speak up, always the first to promise to do something. And Jesus had told all the disciples, before the end of the night, they'd desert him. And it's Peter who pipes up, "Never, even if I have to die with you." But when it came to him, he didn't stick to him. Three times he said, "I don't know him." And so he let the Lord down. So what about these bunch of disciples? In fact, they all let Jesus down. It's been 2,000 years since then. And you know, Jesus still needs disciples to help him and to serve him. He still needs us to pray, to keep watch with him, to hear his voice, so that we can do his will and live his life out here on earth. And he still needs us to be bold enough as well, just like Peter should have been, to say, when people ask, "Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. I worship Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And you can be too. Let me tell you about Jesus." Lots have changed in 2,000 years, but some things never change. Jesus still needs his disciples to be faithful. Jesus needs faithful disciples.